I do want to share what the Lord's doing over there in Romania, but before I do, I believe the Lord just put a small word on my heart of encouragement. If there's someone here struggling somehow tonight, Brother Ken, thank you for your invitation. Thank you, church, for your warm welcome. It's good to be back. I just want to share one verse with you, Psalm 46:10. You'll know it. Be still and know that I'm God. But you know, we often miss the second part of that verse, and we often miss the fact that the struggles that you've got in your life are not necessarily to do with you. Struggles in your life are to do with your growth with the Lord. They're to do with your relationship with Him, with your Lord Jesus. They're to do with growing you closer to Him. They're to do with your sanctification, that process that we all live, that we all strive for. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Some of you may remember from last year, I shared a little of my testimony. I'm married with 4 children. Praise the Lord for that. That's His doing. It's not mine. But it wasn't always that way. At 26, I lost my first wife to cancer. I had a 2-year-old daughter at the time. That was tough. And even now, my wife, Violetta, Romanian lady, she's had now 8 operations in the last 6 years. The day before I left to come out from Romania to the States, I left. She was lying in bed again. Her lungs were giving her so much pain she couldn't speak. Spoke to her just a few hours ago, and praise the Lord, she's back on her feet again. And again, only God can do that. But you see, your struggles aren't about you. A few years ago, my wife died, and I lived through it, and I'm here saying God's good. 2 days ago, I knew I'd be leaving my wife lying down, not being able to speak because her lungs were so constrained. And I'm here telling you God's good. Amen. Be still and know that I am God. Why? So that His name will be lifted up among the heathen. So that His name will be exalted in the earth. It's not about me. Standing here 14, 15 years on, and I will not stop telling that story as long as I'm alive, because His name will be exalted. Amen. So if you're struggling tonight, hang in there. He's worth it. I don't want to upset you. You're not worth it. I'm not worth it. I know what I deserve. But I know a Jesus, and I know His mercy, and I know His grace, and I know that He's worth it. So keep on keeping on. Keep on keeping on, because His name will be exalted through your struggles. I'm just going to take 5 minutes just to share with you, and I want to thank you for praying. I shared with you last year that I was working in 2 prisons locally with 4 sections. Praise the Lord, a year on, I'm still in those 2 prisons, didn't get thrown out yet, didn't get kept in. And that's increased to 5 sections. And the encouragement there was, it was an extra youth section I've been asking to get in for 7 or 8 months last year, and trying and trying and trying again, until once again the Lord got me on my knees and said, stop trying and start praying. And I started praying without the words this time. I left the people in prison alone, stopped asking them, let me in, let me in. I want to get to these kids. It was a group of kids that they told me, don't bother with them. They don't deserve your time. They don't deserve anyone's time. It's the worst section. They won't listen. They're not worth it. Well, it only took a month of prayer. And one of the prison guard that led that section came to me and he said, you know, you wouldn't be able to come here maybe half an hour early in the morning so you could start meeting with these guys too? That's him. So praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Those of you that have been praying, those of you that prayed after last year, you have a role in that. Heard Brother Ricky preach once. Takes 3 kinds of people to reach the inmate. Takes the feet to go, the knees to pray, and the hands to give. Well, those of you that were on the knees praying got me in that section. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Things are moving now beyond Constanza in that southeast corner where I'm working. And the Lord's now opened the door in another prison. Only 100 man unit. There's only 60 young people in there at the moment. But it's a 7-hour drive from home. Was there with the prison commandant 2 weeks ago, and he said to me, "When can you start? When can you start?" He didn't know it, but he's saying, "When can you bring the gospel in here to these kids?" No, he will know it. There's nobody else going there. Nobody going there. There are 4 more youth centers, youth institutions in Romania. The whole youth institution thing is relatively new to Romania. 2 of those youth institutions are 600-bed units. Nobody's going. And I mean nobody. No Christians, no Jehovah's Witnesses, no Muslims, no nobody. If we don't go, someone else will. If we don't go, the devil will make sure someone else gets in there. Please pray. Please keep praying. I want you to remember a couple of things tonight, if I can ask you. Would you please pray for workers? Pray for workers. Pray for workers where I live in Constanza. So I'm working with 2 or 3 local churches at the moment. There are groups that come in with us on main events, Christmas, Easter, and so on. But I need 1 or 2 people that are going to be able to come week on week with me. So as time moves on, they can take over from me a day here, a day there. All I'm interested in is making myself redundant. I want somebody in my place, and then I can get to these other institutes and start raising up. The Lord can start raising up new workers through me in these other areas. The doors are open. We just had our first national conference this last year. The National Prison Administration attended that conference. We're 2 missionaries in Romania. The rest of us are volunteers. The prison administration came to that conference and they stood in front of everybody and said, "You can have the country." They gave 1 condition. Now, let me finish. The condition was, don't come in, preach and leave. What they want is some practical help. The man needs someone to come and just listen to him, pour his heart out. He wants someone to come in who's prepared to sit and listen. There's a man there with no family, no friends, no nothing, and he needs a pair of shoes. He'd like us to bring a pair of shoes. To me, that seems pretty scriptural. Amen. Now, if that's the only condition that they're putting on us, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just to finish off, why prison and why the inmate? Met with a man 3-4 months ago now who has been in prison for some time. Mario, his name is. Met with him this morning, came in and, "How you doing, Mario?" "Oh, I'm good, I'm good. I'm not guilty." He says this every time I see him. And he starts with a whole long list of what he didn't do. I don't know how he knows all of this list of stuff he didn't do, but anyway. He was getting really mad this day. One of his fellow inmates came along behind him and didn't stop. I don't know whether he was scared of the guy, but he didn't stop. He just rushed past him and he said, "Oh, shut up. Don't you know everyone in here is not guilty?" Well, it calmed him down and we were able to get some serious talking and praise the Lord. But that man started coming to some of our meetings, some of our teaching and preaching sessions. He came for 3 months and he said at the beginning, "You know, I know who you guys are, you Christian people." He's an Orthodox believer. Christians are seen as enemies. I said, "I'll come just to see what it's like and that'll be it." Came to every meeting. 3 months. At the end of those 3 months, I held an evaluation, made it anonymous. I cleared out the cell while they all wrote what they wanted to write, all the inmates in there. And he said to me, he wrote down on the paper, he wrote, "For years, I've heard people coming, preaching, and leaving. Now remember, he knew nothing about what this guy from the National Prison Administration said. He said, after these 3 months, I've understood for the first time in my life how God and the Bible are real and relevant in my life. That's why we need to reach the prison. Thank you, church, for your prayers. Thank you for your prayers. We have a God who hears, and we have a God who answers. You might not see it, but he does. I just hope tonight, in just a few short minutes, I can be of encouragement to you. And if I can, it's God's doing, not mine. So thank him. I'd just like to mention before I just step down that if folks had thought or would think to ask me for a prayer card, please forgive me. They're not ready just yet. As soon as prayer cards are ready, I can have them sent through to Brother Ken, and they can be passed out after that. Thank you for your time. Thank you for your patience. Thank you, Brother Ken. And please do pray. Pray for the young people in Romania. Amen.
Amen. We thank the Lord for missionaries tonight. Our church is going to give him an offering before they leave out of missions, take the gospel back to Romania. And I know that'll be a blessing. Brother Rick, you come on now and you close us out this evening. Sure is good to have Brother Ricky and Miss Judy with us tonight.
Thank you, preacher. Is it turned on? Yeah.
I remember, boy, I'm a country boy. Brother Ken preached revival at our church. He's been to my home now. I'm a country boy. We live very simple. And I'm absolutely amazed at how the God of heaven reached down there in Century, Florida, Brother Ken. The old road down from the church, if you went past our church to the right, it's paved now. It's a red clay road when I was a boy. I lived on that road. The old store's gone where I used to buy my crickets. Walk down to the river and fish. And it wasn't uncommon. Most of the time, I had a good daddy. Just had a house full of youngins. So we got one pair of shoes a year and a couple of shirts, a couple of pair of pants. That was it. You met my dad. Dad's a good man. And I thought in May of 1991, when God's told me to go to Romania. What under God's heaven is this boy going to do? I'd been out of the United States with my dad. He was military. But off we go. And I've never been so challenged in my heart to reach a world like I was that day I arrived in Romania and met those officials. At that time, they were still communist officials. The country was down, but the ex-communists were still running the country and trying to develop a democracy. When in those prisons, Brother Ken, it was -8 degrees. I mean, I was cold. We had on gloves, suits, 2 pair of socks. I mean, I thought about putting on 2 pair of underwear. It was cold. It was bad. Watch men walk out of there barefooted, feet all cracking and breaking, but sit for hours and weep while we preached. We preached one pastor 18 times one day. He couldn't talk for 2 days. We had to reach him. They brought him out by the groves. It's not quite that way anymore. Tonight, Brother Mark, you challenged me more than I have been in many years because I understand the country. I understand the people. I want to just say on behalf of Brother Mark tonight, I thank the Lord today that they sent Brother Mark to our ministry. It's a tremendous burden to reach those teenagers in that nation. If you could see those kids and you could see how the Western influence is destroying a nation through their young people, you would see the need of this man reaching that country and others helping. I'm not even going to preach tonight. I'm going to read you some scripture. And then I want to talk to you about how I think we can do this. I thought about it tonight. I thought of several things that Brother Mark talked. He wouldn't get up and say it. He's not that kind of man. He's not given to complaining or having a negative spirit. He's just not that way. I've known him for quite some time. I'd already be griping. I mean, I just know me. I'm an old soft American. But I know the many struggles that he's been through. I know what he's going through now, church, and he needs your... I ask you to pray for his family. He won't ask you to pray for his needs, but I'll ask you to do that. Brother Mark's taking a stand. He's from Wales. The churches there are not like what you have here. Brother Ken, I thought about the Spirit of the Lord tonight. It was so good to me. I need it tonight. I wanted to tell the church, thank you, church, for sharing your preacher with others. I don't know why you'd ever want to leave here and go preach some of them places. But the Lord is using Brother Ken, and I think soon to use him in a bigger way, church, so get ready. And I just believe that. Because the mantle has to be passed to the next generation. I don't see many more out there with the touch of God on them like Brother Ken has. I'd say that to others. I'd say it in your presence. I'd tell you otherwise if it were not so. I believe that. It's a uniqueness what God is doing with this church. So I know you can pray. You know how many churches don't gather down in a room like that and pray? I'm in them all the time. Who haven't seen a soul saved in years. I give an invitation in some churches, you'd have thought I walked out there and slapped their mama. So I know you'll pray. Pray for Brother Mark. The church is there. He's taken a stand to stand on the King James Bible. The churches in England don't necessarily stand there. He's taken a stand to separate himself unto the work. One church had told him, well, you've got to come home after 5 years of being on the field and serving the church. Something of that nature. They didn't understand a lifetime calling. So he's taken a stand and it's cost him. And he's got a great family. I wish you could meet his family. Great family. And I'm building on what I want to say tonight. I'm not just bragging on Mark. I'm going to show you something because of you support our Titus outreach. And that helps in so many ways, and that's what I'm going to talk about. I haven't shared the ministry or talked about those things in a long time coming by here, but we'll read some scripture. I'm not going to be long. I got to get up at 5 in the morning, get ready to go teach my first lesson, and then we have 2.5 hours drive tonight. But I want you to pray for Brother Mark, please. It's my fault, not his. I was to work on the prayer cards. I've been tied up in the office 2 weeks, can't get away from that desk and phone. And I dropped the ball. I didn't get his prayer cards ready because he needed those to pass out so folks could pray. He has lost a substantial amount of his support. If something doesn't happen, not only will he not reach those young people, but he will not reach much further. Brother Mark, forgive me. I know you don't like this, but I'm telling you, I was just over there this past year preaching. And his children would ask for something simple as something maybe to buy for a dollar, and he wasn't even able to do that because they just press on and do the work. I preach a message. I ought to preach it. I've only preached it twice. And I preach on the travels of a missionary. Not based on Judy and I, who have done quite some extensive traveling in 23 years, but on friends of ours. I like to tell you about missionaries around this world. Brother Ken, you've gone over and seen of people who really sacrifice their lives. I don't sacrifice. I'm on a perpetual vacation. I'm having the time of my life. I eat a little dog meat every now and then, but that's all right. There's some folk out there that lay their life on the line to get the gospel out. And I praise the Lord for families like this. I want you to do something. I want you to take your Bible. And we're going to go real quickly. Go to the last chapter of the book of Matthew. I thought tonight, or as I talked with Brother Ken, I really told him, I said, Brother Ken, I don't want to preach. I want you to preach. I want me to tell a little something tonight. But as I did that, we're going to run through the gospel real quickly. I mean quickly. I thought about our Lord. And you sang on the resurrection today, and you realize before he left this earth, he left the church with instruction. And as you begin to give this instruction, and I want to look at the last chapter, a couple verses in the last chapter of all four Gospels. Then I want to bring around a point. I want to thank you for your great giving to the Rock of Ages, to helping send the preacher overseas, to helping me try to reach the world and bear fruit to your, on your behalf. Look, if you would, Matthew chapter 28. Jesus is getting ready, and he gives what some Bibles call will call the Great Commission. I believe it the Great Command. I want you to listen to what the Lord says. These are the things he says. It interests me because at the last chapter, something different is said by our Lord as he concludes his ministry on this earth by way of the flesh. Notice, if you would, in Matthew 28, Jesus said, verse 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, what did he say? All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Now he's telling the church. He said, all power is given unto me. This is important. If you looked in the Bible, in the English word power, if you looked in the Greek, you would find that there are 8 times it is the word power in the Greek under the word dunamio, and with the root word dunamis means dynamite, means power. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the dunamis, the power of God unto salvation. It's always attributed to God's power, not yours. So you see that word, those 8 Greek words throughout the Bible. That is not the word here. This is the Greek word exousios. This means power has been delegated to me. And what he's saying here is I'm going to leave a power that was given to me to have to walk in the flesh with this power, because he became flesh for you and I, and this power, you and I cannot have the power of God directly on us. We'd explode. So we have a delegated power. We have an anointed power. We have an empowerment of the Holy Ghost of God to accomplish what He will. Jesus said, all power, all this power, this delegated power, this exousios power, this power that I can pour on you so that when you cannot save a sinner, God can so empower you, the Holy Ghost of God, by way of your preaching, by way of your testimony, can draw a sinner unto Christ to be saved. That takes the power of God. He said, I'm going to give back to the church. Now watch what he said. Now here's your command. Go ye into... Now watch what he said. Notice in Matthew, he doesn't say preach. Notice he said, go ye therefore and teach all nations. That's the challenge to you and I. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Teaching them to observe all things. Matthew is the lion book. Matthew is the king of Judah. Matthew is Jesus on his throne of David. And so we see, keep this in mind, he's talking as a king now. I delegate to you from my throne. I endow you from my throne with all authority in my name. I give you the keys to heaven and hell, and I knight you tonight to represent me on my behalf, and you can go with the same power of the Word of God as if Jesus Himself spoke it. Now go teach them. All nations. That's the king side of Him. Go to the book of Mark chapter 16. That's the king. Mark represents our Lord as a man. As the man Jesus, who understood our infirmities, who felt our pain, who knows our sorrow, who became, gives us the ability to have victory over sin, because he who knew no sin took sin upon him, so you and I can have victory through the Holy Spirit. Notice now, he says, as a man, two men, and I like this. He speaks as a king, I delegate you power, now you go teach all nations. What a command. That's an individual command to you and I. Now how am I going to teach all nations? But I had the command to do so. Now as men, as flesh, he says this, because if you notice in Mark chapter 16, verse number 15, and he said unto them, now go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, you can't teach something I don't delegate you to teach. And so he says, I give you the power to, in my name, to teach this word of God, this truth. And now he says to this crowd, and what I like, Brother Ken, the verse preceding that, afterward he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them for their unbelief. That just goes to tell me you're just a bunch of men trying to do something holy, because here they were. Would you take a people full of unbelief and tell them go preach the gospel to every creature? But he was showing them, you're just men. The power is not in you. The power is in him. You just stand up and preach it. Before you condemn your brother next time, just realize you put on your pants like he puts on his. Now watch that. Now we see him as Christ the man. We saw him as Christ the king. Go to the book of Luke. I love Luke. Luke's one of my favorite gospel books because it's Christ as the servant. Christ as a servant. The last chapter of the book of Luke. Here's what a servant needs. We need delegated power to teach something with authority from our king. We need to an understanding person for us to preach a message of mercy and grace. That's him as the man. Luke is Jesus as our servant. Notice if you would in verse 46, verse 45. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to be raised from the dead the third day. Watch verse 47. And the repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Notice our Bible, our King James Bible said, should be preached. He commanded them to go. He gave them custom. Now he says, should be preached. The reason the insertion of the word should is because verse number 48 and 49, and ye are witnesses unto these things, verse 49, because you don't need to be doing it until verse 49. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, and tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. You have a delegated authority and power, so I can stand up even if me and Judy just had a fight and preach this gospel, and God will get the job done. But I need not expect sinners to understand the Scripture and the remission of sin and repentance when I step out of these shoes unanointed by the power of God. He said, if you'll just get along with God. You know why Brother Ken probably had one of the best times you had this morning? You were home. Because time was pushing on, and he called me last night, and it's after 10 o'clock last night, and he's in his study after a long week, just waiting for God to endue. So it didn't just fall this morning. It took a little waiting time, didn't it, preacher, to find that place. He's got more outlines than anybody I know. He could have snatched one out of the hat. But he got out there in his place where God was, and you'd be endued with power. This is what the servant of God needs. But now go to John, the last chapter. The book of John, the last chapter. Notice our command is to go and teach and preach all nations. If estimation is right, there's 248 recognized nations in the world. Some, they're always having coups and things, so it changes. Notice if you would now, I'm not going to read the whole chapter. But John is the gospel of his deity. Our Lord's deity. Notice as God, he says nothing about going and teaching all nations. Notice as God, he says nothing about going and preaching to all nations. Brother Ken, he commanded as the king. Power has been given to me and I bestow it upon you. Now go and build me a church. And teach all nations. He says, as a man to all of us, I understand your infirmities, your failures, when you're hungry, when you're abased, when you're bound, when you don't feel like it, when the planes are long and the hotels are tiresome and the food is bad and you've worked all day long and you're tired. He says, I understand. I felt your infirmities. Now go just like you are and preach the gospel. Then he says, as the servant, but don't go on your own. Tarry you a while till you be endued with power. I wouldn't want to be a mama without power. A granddaddy without power. No, I wouldn't want to be. Then we come to John where he is the eagle. He is the deity of Christ. He is God who became man, but he's God. And he doesn't tell us to do any of that. He says, Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Feed my lambs. Peter, do you love me? Lord, you know all things. Feed my sheep. Look at this verse now in the last chapter of the book of John. Verse 19. This spake he signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto them, follow me. They say, here's what the Lord's doing. He said, now here's what I want you to do. I want you to prepare to go teach all nations. I want you, just like you are, you don't have to have a doctor's degree. You don't have to have any special academics or credit or accreditation. You don't even have to be a pope. Why, I'll take you just like you are. You can be a mechanic. You can be a grass cutter. You can be an accountant. You can be a lawyer. Doesn't matter to me. I'll take you just like you are. Just go preach. Then he said, as a servant, you're going to get weary and the devil's going to attack you. But if you'll wait, be endued with power, be clothed by the Holy Spirit of God, I'll make you witnesses. You can't even do it on your own. I'll make you witnesses. And then he said, to wrap it up, he said, now ask God. Just follow me. Remember the Bible said, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. God so loved, God sent a mission from glory to this earth, to reach all nations, and God's going to Africa, and God's going to India, and God's going to China, and God's going to Korea, and God's going to places throughout the United States, and God's going to Bowden, Georgia, and he simply says this, just follow me. Just go where I go. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. I began to pray. Brother Ken, I'm a prison preacher. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, I'm a prison preacher. And my burden is prison, though the Rock of Ages reaches much larger. We reach juveniles, we reach public schools, we reach the military, and on and on and on. And I began to pray. There are 10.2 million prisoners in a prison cell around the world. In addition, we reach young people. There are over 1.17 billion young people under the age of 25 in the world. So that moves our numbers up real quick. Rock of Ages has 145 missionary families and a volunteer base of about 6,000 people that we mail out to. This volunteer base that helps us each year is somewhere around 18 to 2,000 people that help our missionaries go out in churches and schools. Several years ago, I introduced to you the church, a program called the Titus Program. Titus Program is designed so an individual can give personally $5 a month or whatever they would have into this. Brother Ken elected for that to be one sum, not for individually be sent to me, but to be one sum. That's what you've done. And the church has been faithful for many years doing that. The ideal is behind that. Judy and I receive nothing. The Rock of Ages in the States takes nothing. It is to further the ministry overseas. I told Brother Mark, I said, do you realize if I could buy 1 billion Bibles, I would need $1.5 billion to buy them, print them, and ship them. And I'd be reaching 1/7 of the world. Now, how can we reach this large number? So, Brother Ken, it's through you going with me to the Philippines and me watching some things and watching other men and listening to questions that the Lord began to work on me to further longer what we're doing with the Titus program. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 real quick in verse number 12. Notice what Paul said. He said, furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened unto me of the Lord, I had no rest in my spirit because I found not Titus, my brother. But taking my leave of them, I went from thence into Macedonia. He had to leave a place and not leave a preacher. Like Brother Mark had plead for tonight. Paul said, I needed Titus. Titus is not here. I need someone to do this. And he moved on. I began, after two or three of the Philippine trips, seeing the need, talking to the Philippine pastors, watching the team over there, and the Lord laid on my heart to develop, and we did our first one this year. We've written the material. I wished I had the notebook. It's absolutely professional, nice, but here's what we're doing. Here's where I need your prayers, where the Titus will go further, and I'm asking God to add Titus partners at a great number. In this economy, anybody can give $5 a month. And if we do it in larger numbers, we can do more. Here's what we'll do. Rock of Ages has 33 years of work with government institutions. We know how to register in a country. We know how to go in and deal with wardens. We know how to keep the doors open, set schedule with state and federal chaplains and activity directors. This takes a lot of work. We know how to do that. Now, get the local churches overseas involved. Missions, as we know it in church planting, exploded around 1772 by a man by the name of William Carey. William Carey introduced missions as we the Baptists know today. Missionaries coming around, raising deputation, planting churches, indigenous churches, raising up a young man, training him, leaving a pastor, leaving it autonomous. It grows on its own. It's indigenous. It grows in its own means. You see, a pastor whose people makes $50 a month shouldn't be making $3,000 a month. That's not an indigenous work. It doesn't grow that way. Neither should they have a $50,000 building when they're accustomed to a hut. You say, well, Brother Ricky, I don't agree with that. Well, you just have to understand indigenous principle. That's the way you do it. Now, there are thousands of churches all over the world who have prisons and jails and schools next to them. Here's what we want to do. We, the Rock of Ages, can go in. We have men with experience. We can train the church in reaching those institutions. We can register our ministry. Here's where the Rock of Ages gets in, where the local church struggles, is because if the government lets you, Liberty Baptist Church, have a slot at the jail, they got to let the Pentecostals have a slot, and they got to let the Jehovah Witness. So you look at the average state chaplain's schedule, and there's 130 different services a month going on. But we have the truth. So what we're going to do is, if we can get the local church in, but we register the ministry, we get the ministry in there, Rock of Ages, and then volunteers in the local church that'll say, I'll go on Tuesday night and teach and preach. I'll go, next one says, I'll go on Thursday night, and we ask for two night slots, but we will supply our prisoners Bible Institute, gospel tracts to hand out in the prisons, Bibles when we're able to do that. If the church set up an office, set up a secretary to do the grading, we can reach entire regions and areas and countries. If we can go to the area of the 600 juveniles, get 4 to 5 churches, and we can do it, can't we, Brother Mark? With 1 or 2 volunteers to go there on a regular basis, we can flood that. Brother Ken, there's nobody there, so we, the Baptists, can take over a government institution before the Seventh-day Adventists are tough over there. Now, we can do this worldwide. We are now, through the churches on the field, by us simply supplying the material and the instruction, we're now teaching all nations. Now come fly with me. You'll find out you can't reach all nations. You can't get there in time. Your body can't take it. It's too much. But it's a tremendous opportunity. Now here's how we do it. You look now in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and I'm about ready to close out. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. He said, I looked for Titus, and when one day several years ago, Brother Ken, I was so burdened about reaching prisoners around the world, I didn't know how I was going to do it, and I needed help, and I just would ask pastors, would you let me present this? God gave me this scripture one morning in my prayers. I told it to Judy, and said, Judy, I believe this is a ministry God wants me to do. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. In verse number 23, Paul said, whether any do inquire of Titus, he is my partner and fellow helper concerning you. Or your brethren be inquired of, they are the messengers of the churches and the glory of Christ. You see, the message is given to you and me as church members. It's the churches. When you send Ricky Dunsford as your missionary around the world, I become your messenger. The Liberty Baptist Church, I am your messenger. And you're sending the message to the world that Liberty Baptist Church in Bowdoin, Georgia wants to give you the gospel. Wants to see you come to Christ. Wants to teach you this Bible that God's been so good to give us. And how can we do that? We do that by partnership. I've developed these workshops called Partnering Together in Reaching a World. Do you realize right now on the Mormon website, they are preparing 100,000 missionaries, printing Chinese materials, storing and warehousing it throughout Asia. They believe the Chinese walls will come down. The Mormons are big in business. At one time, they owned Montgomery Ward, Exxon Mobil. And they invest around the world. They're a big business outfit. And they have invested, they estimate 700,000 Asian students to come to our country next year and go to school. The Mormons have said, we open our Brigham Young University in both Salt Lake City and Hawaii, and you have a scholarship. Why are they giving the scholarships? They want to indoctrinate. A country of 1.something billion. You might as well get ready. The largest air force in the world is in China. The largest infantry, manned infantry in the world is China. Now either we win them to God, or we fight them. We need today to get a vision to reach beyond. I wish you'd pray. Brother Mark and them need tools. They need material. They need Bibles. Brother Mark drives a Dacia. You remember the Yugo? Now, how'd you like to be Mark in a family of six? Would you like to drive 7 hours in a two-lane highway dodging potholes? Going over the Transylvanian Alps. Fighting those mountains. I've done it. Now, they have to get me a nice van or I don't done it anymore. I'm spoiled. I hope some way. I just wanted to bring you up to speed. I want to thank you, church. Josh Adams, I know the church fell in love with Josh and you're helping him. By September of this year, he should be in the Philippines. That's our target goal. But we can't wait. The young man has some time yet before that work we develop. We've got to reach the world as our Lord's coming is near. Would you continue to pray? I know you're praying, church, and I beg you for your prayers. I've not spoken to a church in this fashion in quite some time. I haven't, Brother Ken. But I believe you're a praying people. I believe you'll pray with us. You'll pray for Brother Mark. You'll pray for Mircha who's there. You'll pray for our guys overseas. You'll pray for this new workshops. We've did one. We've been contacted by New Zealand. A pastor wants us to come there. Mike Van Horn is flying to Mexico in March to do a second workshop. The men, Michael Adams and the men, went on to Thailand. We have opportunity in Thailand for the public schools. The door is coming open. We just opened the country of Costa Rica this past month with a young man wanting to be a missionary, and the government said, come on, we're registering now in Costa Rica. Argentina has opened to us, Brother Ken. They want us to come and do a prison work. And we need, as Brother Mark said, we need help. How can I do that when I don't have the laborers? But we can do it by way of material, by way of prayer, and we can teach all nations. Would you pray with us? Can I pray with you tonight and then I'm done, Brother Ken. I'll just let you close out as you will. Father, we thank you, Lord, for a wonderful church, for the Spirit of God. But Lord, I wished that the Romanians could see what we saw tonight, could hear what Brother Ken preached this morning. I wish, Lord, that there in Ghana, that those dear people could hear this kind of preaching and singing. There in the Ukraine, Lord, where it just seems to be so much oppression, I wish they had a preacher that could preach to them. God, we may not get them a preacher, but maybe we can get them the gospel. Maybe we can get them a book or a Bible. So I pray tonight, God, you'll challenge us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your last commissioning words to go get all nations. And we'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen, preacher.